Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder.
Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the world's greatest Doom Patrol related podcast, where each and every episode we talk long and lovingly about our favorite superhero team, the mighty Doom Patrol.
Hi everyone, I'm Paul. You can find me on Twitter at reading_hicks, H-I-X. We're also at waitingfordoom.com. Waitingfordoom@gmail.com is where you would email us if you were so inclined. We're on Facebook. Are we still on Facebook?
We still are, yeah. Wilfred still has his tendrils in there, not as often as he used to, but yeah, he still has the odd posts there.
He's just hanging with the bots. And we're also on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com, and a few other places. We're not on Spotify.
Yeah, correct. hello, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at AvantGarve. You can also find on Twitter our sentient show account, and that is Wilfred. He's at WFDPod. Hello, Wilfred.
Hello, humans.
And this week, I can't talk proper like, because we've actually got the Doom Patrol in a comic book, Paul.
No.
Yes! I kid you not, sir. They're back in print. In a page. In a comic book page. Several of them,
It's one of those mic pranks, isn't it? You're pranking me. You're going to jump out with a camera and go,
that's ludicrous. gotcha. And then we leave the camera lingering on you when we pretend to leave, but watch the silent tear roll down your face because of the cruel prank. No, it's not a prank, you fool. It's a real thing.
It's not a ruse.
It is not a ruse. It is a real, actual comic book starring our beloved Doom Patrol. And hot damn, it's good. It's good stuff, kids.
Yeah, good stuff.
It's really good stuff. Anyway, Paul, it's been, as the kids say, a minute since we've spoken on Waiting for Doom. What have you been up to?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Not since last year, I believe.
No, well, we did the Welcome to Doom 1022 episode. That was back in January, so close enough.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It was this year, but it seems like a while ago, a few years ago. Well, do you want a little bit of a health update?
Yes, please.
Paul? Yeah. Yeah. So, I got infected balls at one point.
Okay. Hello to all the kids listening.
Sorry. This is why people tune in for this show, because it gives them the content they crave. They got fairly swollen and they formed what I would describe as a mono ball. It's quite sore in the underpants. I showed my wife. She said it looked fine to me, but she called me BB-8 for the rest of the week. So
I'm going to stop. I've got a coffee here that I really need because it's very early in the morning, but I'm going to wait till you stop talking before I take a sip, lest I end up with balls that are not quite right.
Yes, but I got some antibiotics and I got that fixed up, which is good. So
that's good. Well done.
Back to dual balls.
This has been a ball update with Paul.
So this is really Gary stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
If you're one of our Waiting for Doom listeners who don't listen to the Gary show, this is the sort of, you know, goodness you're missing out on.
Champagne comedy.
It is, yeah. Anyway,
except it's not comedy. I'm it's quite serious. I'm glad that the situation has been resolved, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. I was doing a little bit of why me, why now. Mm. yes, at that point. Anyway, but I should probably talk. I did read some comics. I'm always reading comics. Last few weeks I hadn't. I've been up in Sydney mostly, so I hadn't been able to get to my local comic shop, or LCS as we call it, recently. But I did get down there on Friday, just after payday, and I spent too much. I walked in and said, hey,
And they, it was like a scene out of Cheers where they go like, "Hey, Paul!"
Yeah. And sitting there, there's a drunk in the corner. It's weird. I said, "Comic keep, hit me with my pile of comics." And he pulled out a massive pile of comics. And I looked at them. I better take half of that. I walked out with $210 of Australian of comics.
So that's about six comics.
Six comics, yes. Mm. Mostly free comic book day ones.
Ouch.
Oh, that was the other thing. They did free comic book day in the last few weeks because they had cancelled it in 2011 because of a little thing called COVID that was going around.
So 2011?
They finally had... 2021. Sorry. Sorry, COVID has...
Wow.
Time has lost all meaning.
It really has. It really has.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember it was my 21st, and I'd just come out of the womb. I got some free comics from last year, and I think he had to do Free Comic Book Day because Free Comic Book Day for 2022, or this year as we call it, is fast approaching, and so I think he had to do that. So I did get some, but. Free Comic Book Day. It's not much of a preview when it's like 9 months late.
Or 11 years.
No, I don't know. Yeah. So, I will talk about one comic I've been reading, which is I got the trade of By the Horns.
You post a picture of it. I've never heard of this comic. Please give me the pitch, the elevator pitch for it.
Okay. It's... drawings on paper that resemble images that tell a story with text.
Paul.
What?
You know what I mean.
It's from Scout Comics. It's a handsome, shiny paper. No, it's not really shiny, but it's got very nice printing. It's story and direction by Marcuson Nasso. Art, lettering, and design by Jason Muir. Lettering as well. Look at that. Mm. And color, art, and effects by Andre Tabakura, and it tells the story. It's a fantasy world. It's got a little bit of, anything goes as far as there's a bit of sci-fi and a bit of fantasy and everything. Mm-hmm. People have, laser guns and hover things, but they've also got fairies and demons and stuff. And there's a girl there who basically, she's miserable. She goes out killing monsters all the time, brings the monster heads back to her village, and everyone goes, "Oh, great, more monster heads." And they're making monster head soup, which is so horrible that it makes people want to vomit up their intestines and then set fire to them, as one guy says. and then they sit her down and they say, "Look, we know you're upset about your boyfriend getting trampled by unicorns. Your husband getting trampled by unicorns. But we really, we think that you coming back with all these monster heads all the time is kind of useless. We're going to exile you from the village until you sort your shit out." And, she goes off with her... It's cross between a fox and an antelope. And she goes on a quest... as one does in a fantasy / sci-fi story. Yes. And basically ends up... her quest is actually to find all the unicorns and kill the bastards because she hates them. She ends up having to team up with unicorns because there's all these evil wizards doing stuff. And unicorns can lend you their horns and you can form them into different weapons.
Oh.
So she ends up with two unicorn friends, but she wants to kill them, but she can't. And wackiness ensues, and it's a really good, and all these evil wizards are running around, and every time you kill an evil wizard, it basically the other remaining wizards get more powerful, so that creates more problems. So it's really, really good, and it's, if you like fantasy where, magical creatures call things assholes, then this is a book for you. It's really good. 8 issues. It's a nice, generous trade for $19.99 US, which works out to be about $4,000 or 10 years worth of loan in Australia. So,
is it ongoing or a limited series?
It's limited, but they have just they're about to start volume 2.
Nice.
With a new story. So,
cool. Sounds very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but the art is good. One of the main characters is like this giant eyeball with sort of tendrils, but it uses the tendrils to, you know, make expressions and stuff. So it does, you know, surprise face. It's just a giant eyeball, but it's so
right.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I love it. And that's called Evelyn, the eyeball.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Okay, sounds like they've had a bit of fun putting that one together. Very cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, top-notch art is absolutely stellar. So, yeah, I was very happy. I actually bought the first two issues because I thought, this sounds fun. And I read them and thought, this is really good. I'm going to get the trade because I switched from, you know, the temporalness of issues to the permanence of trade.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? I'm hogging this segment. You tell me stuff.
They are fine and or dandy. Thank you very much. No complaints from anyone so far. I went and got my booster shot, so I'm, you know, got my triple vax thing going on now, so that's all good. That was a nice, fun family outing yesterday. Went to the movies. Guess what I've seen?
The Batman.
The what?
The Batman?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that thing, yeah. Yes, saw it twice within the space of its opening week here.
Wow.
So, well, the first time we saw it, my lovely Kylie started to develop a migraine towards the end of it, and not because of the film, because it had just been a long, bad day. And then the following weekend she said, I really want to see that again. I was like, okay, sure. Have you seen The Batman?
I have seen The Batman. I saw it last weekend with my son. My wife and daughter went to see the BTS concert, with the live stream of a Korean concert of
right.
BTS, which is not behind the scenes. It's actually a Korean boy band.
Right.
So, yeah. So, what? Although... Sorry?
No, I was going to ask what BTS stood for, and then thought, is it Boys That Sing?
Could be, or... could be behind the scenes, I don't know.
You just said it wasn't. Anyway, what did you think of The Batman?
I liked it. It was very... it was a serious film. It wasn't full of chuckles. But I did enjoy seeing a detective Batman on screen finally after so many, 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 many years. So I liked that. I did think it was the most comic-y of the Batman movies in a way that I like the comics. I did think it was a little long, but I cannot think of anything they should have cut out of it.
No.
It was good. And I did like I just love awkward Batman standing around with regular cops and they're all just, you know, side-eyeing him like, what the hell? I did like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, but Batterson was good. I dug the Batterson. So probably... I would say probably my favourite Batman film. Dark Knight is one I really enjoy, but
I absolutely.
We all know now that the fact that, you know, everyone decided not to blow up each other's boats in the Dark Knight is bullshit. Everyone would just do that straight away. People will not make sacrifices for each other just because people are fellow men.
As Slipknot wrote. For one of their songs, people equal shit. Anyway, The Batman, I fucking loved it. I absolutely loved it, yeah. I agree, I couldn't think of anything they could have cut. I mean, they probably could, but I loved every minute of it. I was not bored at all. I love the fact that it was a detective film. And yes, he was being a detective, and he was year two Batman, and Gordon wasn't commissioner yet, and it was just really cool. I could rant and rave about that for... probably as long as the film itself. But yeah, it was great fun. Comics I've read, speaking of Detective, slowly catching up on Detective Comics. I have just read the landmark 1,050th issue. What a strange landmark to call out to. It's like, yeah, you're already a pretty long-running comic. You know, we get it.
Yeah. I mean, I prefer that to what Marvel does with the complete renumbering all the time, and then they go, oh shit, there's a... big anniversary number coming up. Let's switch back to the original numbering.
Marvel. Isn't
it? That's cheating, Marvel. Do it properly. Just,
Marvel drives me nuts with that shit.
Drives me nuts.
They steer me balls. Both of them.
Meatball.
All right, BB-8, pipe down. Just you know, muddling through life, just getting by, you know, work-life balance, etc., etc. Fun times all round. So yeah, shall we bother having a look at any? Is there anything on the Doom News desk that you might want to report in on about?
The next season is in production. There's little production crew stuff going. Yay, we're in production. Stuff like that.
Cool. Let's go to the Doom News desk, and you can talk about that then.
let's not bother. It's not important enough. Okay.
Jeez, year 8, and we're just really relaxing. Finally.
Yeah. No. Yeah. What else do we do on this show?
Well, you hear that ticking.
Yes. Yeah. That ticking that I heard before that I didn't mention because it was like.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was innocuous but distinct.
What? It's a doom clock. Innocuous but distinct. What the fuck? Oh, dearie me. Okay, so as we look
to the word innocuous, eh?
Yeah, the topical. You know, inoculation.
You don't hear the word innocuous enough.
No, yeah. You know, it's very... doesn't stand out much these days.
You don't run into the servo and go, "Good morning, I'll have, you know, $400 worth of petrol. How are you?" And they go, "I'm feeling innocuous." You know, they don't say that.
No. Anyway, guess how many weeks it's been, Paul, since we've had a new Doom Patrol book on the shelves? Guess. This isn't one of your questions.
Oh, isn't it? It's been 59 weeks.
89 weeks. So close.
89. So close.
89 weeks since we had... It's anything to do with numbers and time. It's also
higher.
Wiki-wacky, you know. Time's a wibbly-wobbly ball during these unprecedented times. 89 weeks since we had a new Doom Patrol book on the shelves, that being issue 7 of Doom Patrol Raid of the Worlds, which we discussed in episode 161 back in July of 2020. Coming up next for the Doom Patrol and comic books is, well, surprise, surprise, World's Finest, issue 1, which we will be talking about shortly. And issue 2, which will still feature more Doom Patrol goodness, will be out apparently April 19th.
Sorry, point of order, Mike. It's actually Batman Superman World's Finest, or Bizwoof, as Bizwoof. People are calling it.
Right.
Okay. Bizwoof.
Bizwoof. Issue 1 of Bizwoof came out this past week, which featured the Doom Patrol. So, that was good. And issue 2 of Bizwoof will be out April 19th, apparently. At this stage.
At this stage.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, are you ready for the this week? It's been so long.
I've been in training.
What have you been doing for training?
I've been saying words out loud.
Is that training, though, or is that just a regular day?
Some might call it talking.
Okay, I'm going to roll the 8-sided die of doom. Oh,
7.
No, you got 2.
I can do it. I can do it.
You can do it in 2? Wow. Okay.
I can do it in 2.
Right, if you can do it in 2, I will go and see the Batman again.
Alright, okay.
Alright, question the first.
Is it Doom Patrol number 42 from Series 2?
Doom Patrol Volume 2, Issue 42?
Yeah.
It is not, but you're kind of close.
Okay.
Second and final question.
Why don't you tell me what issue it is?
Because that would defeat the purpose of the game.
Oh, okay. It's, all right, so I'm going to take your saying it's kind of close to mean... I'm in the right volume. I'm going to take it as that. Yeah. I'm not going to ask you to confirm that because that, well, you said yes.
That's my it's a freebie. It's a freebie. Yeah. No, yeah. No. I'm just confirming your suspicion, which is not actually a question. You're just thinking aloud.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And kind of close. So I mean, I could take that to mean we're in the 40s, but I don't think you would have said something more more definitive if I'd said that. So, and I don't think you're just saying I've got the numbers transposed, so it's not issue 24. I'm not thinking that.
You know what I should have said? You know what I should have said in response to your
first question?
How
many questions do you have?
No, shut up. I should have said, in response to your question, is it volume 2, issue 42? I should have said, lower. Do it.
Is it volume... sorry. Is it volume 2, issue 42?
It is not volume 2, issue 42.
Thank you, everyone. We'll be on tour in September if you come and see us.
Come on down, you little flyer
yourself. Okay, it's lower. All right, that's what I'm thinking. It's lower. I'm going to say volume 2, issue 33.
Oh my God, you are wrong. But
yes!
But it's volume 2, issue 32. Oh my God. Missed it by one.
Oh, man. I was on fire, though.
You really were. Going on sale this week for... I'm just stunned that you were so close in two guesses.
Oh, so close.
Oh, I don't get to see Batman again. Going on sale for $1.50 this week on March 27th, 1990, to be exact, with the cover date of May of that year, was Doom Patrol Volume 2, Issue 32. This issue was titled Decreator and was brought to us by Grant Morrison, Richard Case, John Nyberg, Johnny Workman Jr., Daniel Vozzo, Mark Wade, and Simon Bisley. The story itself had the Patrol and Willoughby Kipling trying to protect a young man from the cult of the unwritten book, who sought to read the ancient text tattooed over the young man's body, which would summon the anti-god, the Decreator, if read aloud. Oh no! Ooh. We covered this issue all the way back in episode 22 from June of 2015, and you can find that in the Doom dossier for Volume 2, Part 2 over at waitingfordoom.com, and that is it for the Doom Clock this week.
No, it's not. No, it's that came out when I just turned 22, that comic.
Oh.
So that was just 2 days after my birthday that came out.
And I would have been 14 when that came out.
Wow.
Yeah. You're
so young.
So young.
That's why we didn't do a podcast back then. You were too young.
Yeah. That's why. It wasn't that there wasn't the technology or, you know, we didn't know content. Each other. You know.
I don't think we were even friends on Twitter back then.
Was Twitter around back in...
32 years ago, we weren't even Twitter friends.
Yeah. Back when Twitter was just launching in 1990. Yeah. It was huge when it launched in 1990. What?
We've gotten to the bottom of it. Okay. As you were, Mike.
Thanks, Paul.
Play a promo.
Gladly.
Jeff and Rick present Unpacking the Power of Power Pack,
where we journey through each issue of the most underrated Marvel series of the 80s while drinking beer,
analyzing awesome and amazing adolescent adventures, and absorbing alcohol.
We got kids with powers, we got villains with attitude.
We got superhero guests, like all of them from the Marvel Universe.
We have thematically appropriate beer reviews.
We have good jokes and bad song parodies.
One stop for all your Power Pack pod-pleasing procurements.
And we got alliteration.
Find Unpacking the Power of Power Pack wherever fine podcasts are played.
Costumes on. And now it's the part of the show that called Doomsplaining, where we explain things to do with the Doom Patrol, and we conflate those words into the words Doomsplaining, which is clever and unprecedented and innocuous at some point. No, it's not innocuous.
It's not. It's clever like a fox. Yes.
Clever. Yeah. Why are foxes clever? They're imported. They're pests. You know, they run across the road, and I always think I should run them down, but they're too cute. I don't. And I'm not fast enough in it, because they're fast buggers. They're
God like help.
Red streaks.
God help the first ugly fox you ever come across. Oh, well, you're not cute. Accelerate!
That bastard's going down.
Ugly pest.
And as we alluded to earlier in this episode, we are going to be talking about Buzzwoof at number one. We've actually divided into two parts because originally when this came out, the first 10 pages were in Detective Comics 1050 or 1050, which is Mike was mentioning earlier that he read that. So they published the first 10 pages in that, and then they did the new issue and they actually reprinted those 10 pages, which was very generous because they actually, I think it would have suffered without them. So Mike's going to kick off our synopsizing with a coverage of first 10 pages, and I'll pick it up and cover the end. So Mike, take it away.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for agreeing to cover my end. Yes, I read Tech 1050, A, because it's a landmark issue, and B, because Detective Comics is the only bad book I buy, because I love Detective Comics. It's awesome. I've got a lot of Detective Comics back issues. Did you know that, Paul?
I've actually contributed to your backlog of back issues, innocuous pile.
Anyway, in Metropolis, the not-too-distant past, Poison Ivy, perched atop the Daily Planet globe, uses her plant powers to attack the building. Inside, the panicked employees are evacuating, but Lois can't find Clark Kent. A blue and red blur leaves through an open window. Ivy hears the heroes arrive and turns to find Batman and Robin. The dynamic duo quickly capture her. Superman is rescuing nearby displaced citizens of Metropolis, but soon flies up to meet his super friends. When a second villain appears, the kryptonite-powered Metallo. Batman and Robin leap to engage a cyborg, but Ivy's vine sees them. Metallo advances on the stricken Superman as Ivy flings Robin off the skyscraper roof, causing Batman to dive after him. Metallo pulls out a sinister custom-branded syringe out of his chest cavity and stabs it into the Man of Steel's chest. Oh no! Robin and Batman return to the roof, and Robin plunges his staff into Metallo's chest while Batman knocks Ivy out cold. Superman, however, starts to thrash in pain, writhing in the air. And a shadowy figure on a nearby building watches all of this, pleased by the outcome. Excellent. Now the fun begins. His horned shadow... What? His shadow has... Yeah, big weird horns. His horned shadow on the wall behind him adds, they have no idea what's in store. What did you think of this intro to Buzzwoof?
Ah, mate. Well, the first thing I notice is that we've got Batman in a classic costume, so he's got sort of blue and grey. Mm-hmm. Yellow chest emblem. It does say to me this is the past. And Robin, it's Tim Drake, I think. It looks like classic Tim Drake because he's got the long pants and the bow staff was very Tim Drake, wasn't it? That he was.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really enjoyed it. But it's interesting they're setting things in the past because you think, is this to move forward or is this just to capture a certain period of continuity without having to say why and how and all that sort of stuff? So yeah, it's playing loose and fast. But clearly, I mean, the thing that came through is Mark Waid, obviously an anti-vaxxer, because, you know, this is all about a vaccine being given involuntarily to someone. He doesn't want people to get the vaccine. He's basically saying it's dangerous. It's a cocktail of death, the vaccine.
Right.
So that's what I took away from it. And the person administering the vaccine has horns, so horny, mysterious figure. It's
Big Pharma.
Probably the porn industry.
Oh.
It could be Big Pharma. It could be someone with horns. But the shadow has horns, which is weird, not the person.
Well,
unless there's two individuals, and one is a person and one is a horned shadow. Maybe it's...
Big Pharma...
Who else has horns?
I was going to say maybe it's a mild-mannered grocery store chemist, you know, pharmacist, whatever you want to call him, who's horning on the inside.
So it could be Dr. Fauci, horny to give people injections of the vaccine.
That's what they call him, horny Fauci.
Yeah. Oh, we've cracked the code in this issue.
Yeah. Well, mark my words, issue two of Buzzwoof is going to have Dr. Fauci as the villain. Yeah. No, I don't. I don't agree with your takeaway on that one. I think it will be a fictional DC villain, but I couldn't think of who it might be. And I did think it might be two people at first, but then when you look closer, you can see the outline of some of the bricks in the building.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a shadow. It's not a person.
Yeah.
I wondered if it was. I wondered if it was Blue Devil, perhaps, or Gog. But I've just seen Gog in another comic recently. He was in the Infinite Frontier.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's Gog or Magog. That's his mum, Margog.
It could be Pargog then.
Pargog. Oh, yeah, but we haven't seen him.
Could be the family pet, Doggog.
Doggog.
Just saying. Pets talk in comics sometimes. But I wondered if it was Gog or Magog, but then I was kind of like, I can't even recall the last time I personally saw them in anything, because I didn't read Justice Incarnate or whatever it was called that you just mentioned.
Frontier.
Infinite. That was the one.
Innocuous Frontier.
I did actually read that, but it just went over my mind. Yeah, I don't know who this bad guy pulling the strings from the shadows might be.
But it could be someone possessed by someone with horns, so that's the other takeaway. So, could be an antelope man.
Mm-hmm. Taken by the horns. Yeah. Look out, everyone. Antelope man's back.
Could be Mr. Double Unicorn.
Yeah, that's right. His mutant power, the fact that he's got two unicorn horns, not one. Yeah, he's a mutant.
But
a muticorn.
A muticorn. A duicorn. Yeah, at work we have a trivia contest every Thursday, and the prize is a llamacorn, which is a llama with a horn.
Oh.
I used to win the llamacorn all the time when they used to make it about trivia, but then they changed it to real world stuff, and now I never win. Yeah, poo to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we should mention, this is all written by Mark Waid, as we discussed, legendary writer Mark Waid. And it's all, the art is by Dan Mora, and woo, it's dynamic. It's whooshy and zoomy and all
fantastic.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really noticed the use of the sound effects, but they're built into the art in really dramatic and colourful ways, and it's just excellent. And it's all coloured by Tamara Bonvillain.
Oh, Tamara, yay!
We love Tamara.
Yes.
And she's done a fantastic job on the colours, as always. You know, she seems to be, when you see her name on a DC comic, you go, this is the DC comic that everyone thinks is the most important right now, I reckon.
Yep.
Yeah, that's when you put Tamara on, when you want it to be the best.
That's right.
So, yep. Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to go into Bizwiff 1, the rest of the story. So,
please do.
I will. Gotham City years earlier, so we've got a different flashback. Batman and Superman are at the end of a case. Batman's analysis of clues leads Superman to a dockside warehouse where Robin is suspended over a large crucible of molten metal. Robin threatens the Penguin, and the villain explains how Lex Luthor introduced him to the weaponers of Quad, allowing him to become an interdimensional arms dealer. Three of the alien soldiers are standing guard nearby. Suddenly, Batman calls to Penguin from the rafters, and a Quadian lobs a lightning bolt his way, only to have it intercepted by Superman, who declares, "It tickles," as the smoke clears. This distraction has allowed Batman to free his partner, Robin. Penguin choking up. I'm so moved by it.
It's so good.
It is. Penguin sprays the heroes with umbrella machine gun fire while the aliens' lightning bolts start to bring the house down. Superman zips about repairing the warehouse structure. Batman looses a batarang at Penguin, taking the foe out of consciousness. An unseen Quadian readies a bolt and hurls it at an unaware Batman, but Superman zooms in, taking the bolt's power and freezing the soldier into place with his cold breath. But now, so we pick up where the action was carrying on from Metallo and Poison Ivy, Superman is still stricken by the unwanted injection delivered by Metallo. Clark's co-workers, Lois and Jimmy, arrive on the roof to see if Superman is okay. Robin deduces that the syringe contains a cocktail of red kryptonite, causing Superman's agonizing reactions. Robin wonders, how do you treat a sick Superman? We're out of luck, unless you happen to know a doctor who specializes in freakish transformations. Sure, that means nothing. Batman contacts the Batcomputer while a panicked Superman launches off into the sky, and Robin grapples in pursuit, just in time to grab a falling reporter from a news copter. Jimmy finds Superman down on the street, tearing up the road. Superman suddenly convulses as Jimmy watches. My God, he's literally turning into a Man of Steel. Hey, that's my gig, declares new arrival Cliff Steele, a.k.a. Robot Man,
woo-hoo!
As he wraps some stray iron around Superman. His embiggened teammate, Rita Farr, a.k.a. Elasti Woman,
yes!
Scoops up the prone hero as Batman explains who's who to Robin and Jimmy, pointing out Larry Traynor, a.k.a. Negative Man, is also on the scene.
Oh, yeah!
Superman suddenly revives, returning to flesh form, then engages the heroes gathered as he hallucinates encounters with Phantom Zone villains and a fully armored Lex Luthor. The heroes scramble to protect onlookers and end each other, while Negative Man zooms Cliff out of the way of a rampaging hero of Metropolis. As Superman tries to kill Lex Luthor, he is unaware that he actually has Batman in his super strong grip. The Caped Crusader calmly uses logical arguments to make him realize that his vision is lying to him. Superman releases his friend, falls to his knees in the street, and screams as his powers run out of control, causing him to vibrate at super speed. Batman then executes a plan he shared with Larry earlier, and the negative being radiates energy waves at Superman till he emulates the radiation of a red sun, causing Superman's powers to fade. The heroes take the collapsed Man of Steel to Calder Mansion in Midway City, with Negative Man maintaining the red sun effect. Batman wonders who masterminded the attack, and as he looks at the logo on the syringe, Larry has a look, recognizing the design. I thought so. We've seen that horned glyph, and it's bad news. It's the symbol of... At that moment, Rita interrupts, leading them into a darkened room where Niles Calder, a.k.a. the Chief, is waiting with glowing green medical instruments. The doctor will see you now. Robin looks on horrified. Are you out of your mind? Wow.
Yeah.
So, Mike, what did you think of this one? It's old school superheroic stuff, isn't it?
This is a great first issue. This was so much fun. It was action packed. It told a good story. It introduced us. You know, when you include the 10-pager, you know, it sets up this first case in this new, I guess, world's finest era, and it does it so well. And this was just I can't even get the words out properly. I enjoyed the heck out of this. This was a great first issue, and not just because the Doom Patrol wrote it, because, I mean, obviously it's going to be great with them. Anything with the Doom Patrol in it is going to be great, to my mind. But this in terms of, superheroics, capes and tights, featuring Batman and Superman, and guest starring the Doom Patrol, and Robin. I really enjoyed Robin in this. Robin, I can usually take a lead, but he had some great scenes in this. And I hope he sticks around as World's Finest continues. But this was so much fun. This was just such a great, great first issue.
Yeah, and the art's so hyperkinetic, and it's just, you know, such a punchy coloured issue. It's just beautiful. I thought in the original, you know, it's Penguin flashback, I thought that was Dick Grayson probably, and it's sort of showing that Batman and Superman had, you know, a very good working relationship earlier in their careers, which is pretty much, that's sort of the opposite of what was put in place with John Byrne coming in on Man of Steel, because in that, you know, they didn't really like each other. Well, Batman didn't like Superman much, and they sort of, you know, they respected each other, but they were, you know, they weren't buddies. They weren't, you know, they weren't going to the movies together and, op shopping on Saturday mornings.
Antiquing. Clark, do you want to go antiquing this weekend? I'll fire up the back trailer.
We're not doing that in, post-crisis, yeah. So I think this is basically trying to establish that, you know, they are mates. There's no baggage between them. No disagreement. They're pals. And they trust each other implicitly, innocuously. You could say inoculation. Inoculation. Oh my God, I've cracked it again.
Oh, curse you, Mark Wade, and your anti-vax status. I can't. Where did you get that shit? Anyway, yeah. It's great. Everything about this issue just works so well. The writing is great. The story is great. The art is great. The lettering, the color, everything. The scene in the with the Quartians fighting bats and soup. You know, one of my favorite panels in this is the Fachoom, where the Quartian throws a lightning bolt at Batman. And the letters are actually made. You know, the art is within the letters.
Yeah,
There's a red and blue streak. I just love that panel, that sound effect there. That was so cool.
Yeah, and weaponers of Quad, of course, are the classic Green Lantern villains. So that was, yeah, and the ones that Sinestro teamed up with when he finally got the yellow ring.
Yes.
So that was pretty early in Green Lantern history. So, yeah, but they basically, I love the Quadians. They basically seem to be combat soldiers on top and professional bikers on bottom. They usually have bike shorts on. And they literally have these yellow lightning bolts that they lob at people that explode. So,
yeah.
But speaking of bike
shorts,
speaking of bike shorts,
Elastic shorts.
you tell us, mate. You tell us.
Rita Farr finally has a sensible costume in that she is wearing Elastic shorts as part of her costume now. She doesn't have a skirt. She is maintaining some dignity. Adventuring, and that's great to see.
And it's a classic looking Rita. She does look like a movie star, only you know, much much bigger than most movie stars. Well, I've never met a movie star of her stature, as I said. But Cliff basically has his classic look. He has the little box on the front of his chest with the blue thing on it. The blue looks like a one of those art things you got at school for drawing semicircles with angles, you know what I mean?
I know the thing you mean. I don't know the name of it. I haven't been in school in a long time.
I'm going to say set square, but I know that's wrong because it's not at all a square. But he has that thing on his chest. He's bronze-coloured. It's classic-looking Cliff. Larry is sort of... he's gone with the bandages, but he's got a jacket, so that's a bit, Morrison-ish. Case-ish?
And the sunglasses are a bit... era as well.
So they're sort of going classic, but also what works really well. I mean, he looks like the naked unknown soldier if he's not wearing a jacket, doesn't he?
Call the Mansion is an interesting addition, though.
Yeah, it's the mansion between the Skyrise buildings. Yes. I love it.
Yes,
he's sitting on the street. He wouldn't sell, and he owns the property. He owns the block, so they were like, "No, we'll have to build around him."
Curse you, Calder.
But Calder doesn't say anything. He just looks sinister. And, I mean, I'm taking it to be that the fact that his instruments are green, they're probably kryptonite-soaked or something, or infused.
Well, how else do you operate on a Kryptonian? You know, how else do you break their skin, I guess? Maybe. I'm sure Superman fans will correct me on that. But that's my assumption, that the instruments, have somehow laced or doused with green kryptonite. So that he can...
It sounds like I'm thinking of a country song. How do you break a kryptonite's skin? You don't. You break a Kryptonian's heart. Something like that.
But yes, I think that those last couple of lines in this issue where Rita comes out and says, "The doctor will see you now." And yeah, it's just Robin going, "Are you out of your mind?" I love that little interaction there.
Yeah, no, it's good. But, I mean, this whole issue is... I mean, I love the fact that it's not just Batman and Superman. I've seen Biz before in action. I've read, Biz before. But, you know, it's Robin, and it's Jimmy, and it's Lois, and it's the Doom Patrol. And I really hope that they keep this up with this comic, and it is a sort of... showcase of the DC Universe.
Love that, yeah.
Yeah, like I want to see Metamorpho in this comic, and I want to see, Katana. I want to see different heroes and different villains, and I want it to be all over the place. I want it to go into the galaxy. I want it to,
When DC anthologies, like, Brave and the Bold, and that
and Spotlight, you know, where they showcase different heroes in, like, you know, two-parters or one-and-dones. Those are always such great fun because they only have a finite amount of time to get a story told. And more often than not, they're bangers. They're crackers. They go off. And I wouldn't be... I would love it if Bizwiff, or World's Finest, becomes a new anthology showcasing the World's Finest. You know, so Batman and Superman feat the Doom Patrol, you know, or feat, Metamorpho. He'd be great to see. We haven't seen him since Terrifics wrapped up. R.I.P.
The Flash.
Even The Flash, you know, even, Diana Wonder Woman, you know. There's so many options I could take, but for now, I think they've made a chef's kiss of a choice having Doom Patrol be the guest stars in their very first story arc.
Yeah. And I think that setting the continuity a bit vague allows it to be... It's insulated from being involved in, you know, modern crossovers and all that sort of garbage. It also allows you to feature characters without their current baggage or their current status quo. So, you know, you can just say... You know, this is what we're doing at this point with these characters, and you know, when's it said? It doesn't matter. It's a bloody good story.
Not at all. Especially not
sit
now.
Sit down. You know, go away. Yeah.
Exactly. Take a long, hard look at yourself and realize that the DCU is a multiverse, and you know, it could be a slightly different Earth. It could be in main DCU continuity in the past. We don't know. Doesn't really affect the story.
Yeah. Shut down. Shut up. Sit down. Spend some time in the room full of mirrors. Take a good, long, hard look at yourself.
Yeah.
That's what we want to say. Yeah.
Think about the words that have just come out of your mouth. Okay?
Yeah.
Just
this should be on the opening page. It should have a page at the start that says, when's this set? You're a dickhead. Or something like that.
When's this set? Back of me hand. Just don't eat on it. Don't even, kid. Don't.
Now, speaking of back of your hand, there's a lot of covers to this comic. I was self-controlled. I only ordered 4 copies.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Wow.
So I got the Art Germ sexy Stephanie sexy Kara cover.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Art Germ covers are always, you know, they're sexy sellers.
Mm.
People always want them. Anyway, so I got that one. I stumped up for the $25 Australian. 2x2 for the Batman slapping Superman and Superman slapping Batman.
Okay, now I'm jealous because that's Doc Shaner, and I freaking love Doc Shaner.
No, it's Chip. It's Chip.
Oh, the Chip one. So when you said slap, I misspoke. I was imagining somehow. I thought high fiving was slapping. It's very early. I've only had one coffee.
You never try to high five me.
High five you! It's a back of me hand. So sorry, you got both Chip covers.
I did, yes. I wanted both, and I got in early enough that my LCS, or my local comic shop, as we call it, the comic purveyor, seller man, said, yes, Paul, I can get you those. So I got that one. And there was also the Seinfeld cover that they originally said was 1 in 100, which was like, that's going to be insane. I'm not going to buy that. They made it open order, so you can order it. So I ordered one, and I actually, Seinfeld, and... So it's. I mean, I'm not a massive Seinfeld fan, but I know friends who are. So yeah, I basically want to taunt them with it. No, I don't. I want to be kind. So yeah. So Ashford, if you're listening and you don't have a copy, let me know. I'll help you out, dude.
What's the deal with variant covers?
Yeah, but I didn't get the 1 in 50 was the Doc Shaner high five or non-face hand slap of Michael.
The friendly mic slap, we'll call it.
Invisible face slap. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's. Yeah, I didn't get that one.
Okay.
But there's a regular cover. I think there was. Yeah. I think some stores did some exclusive covers. So if you go to those stores and say, shopkeep, I would like a copy of Bizwiff number 1 with the exclusive cover, they'll just look at you and say, it's sold out, man.
Too slow. Too slow.
Go take a long, hard look at yourself.
Kid, just don't, kid. Just think about the words that have come out of your mouth.
Yeah, and then you'll go, why are they calling me kid when I'm in my 50s?
they're being very generous, maybe.
Yeah, well, maybe you're wearing a mask and it hides, you know, your age.
Maybe. I saw
a beard mask the other day. It was like a mask which had like a bagpipe spot underneath that you could cover your entire beard with. So.
Why? Why would you? Okay.
Well, no, if you're in the health industry or, you know, like medical, like you're a doctor.
I guess, yeah. Okay, that makes
you can't, sense. You have to shave. You have to shave because you can't, like, you don't get a good seal in a beard with a mask.
Yeah.
So you would have to shave off your beard. So that's why I'm not a nurse or a doctor. That's the only reason.
Okay, that makes sense. I just thought...
Because I won't shave my beard. Not that I won't study for 10 years. And change career completely.
Yeah, no, shave my beard? Not likely. Think about the words that are coming out of your mouth. Just no.
Yeah, don't. So are you just getting the classic ordinary cover?
Yeah, I've just got the regular cover. Yeah, so yeah. I just did a quick check, and I think there's, like a dozen different covers for it, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, yeah, this is a big landmark thing. It's the world's finest teaming up once again. I mean,
I mean,
a 1,050th issue is cool, but is it really a landmark? Come on.
It's going to sell really well, I reckon, because people want those covers. So for a store to order the 1 in 25 cover, they must order 25 copies of the regular comic.
Yes.
Which would include, you know, the non-ratioed variants like the Supergirl and Batgirl cover that I got. So do you think that Doom Patrol in this story is, have they gone to Codsville and blown up, or do you think it's after that? Have they, or do you think,
what's happened? It's really hard to pinpoint it for me. I kind of think it's with all the, you know, universe ending, restarting shenanigans that DC does, and now all the multiverse stuff, I kind of think it's almost like a soft reboot, relaunch for them, and that Codsville hasn't happened yet. And I would kind of be disappointed if in this modern era they revisited Codsville, because obviously I am hoping that Bizwiff, as the kids call it, is a launching pad for a new ongoing Doom Patrol series, or even a Doom Patrol mini to test the waters. Featuring, you know, the Chief and this original trio in, you know, an updated setting with, you know, the quote-unquote current DCU. So I would hope that if that did happen, that whoever the new writer ends up being, if they get to a point where they say, sorry, you've got to wrap this up, they do something slightly different. If you'll excuse the pun, I think Codsville's been done to death. We all know... That's how they were first killed off back in the 60s. And I think because that was such a, you know, it was kind of a big deal at the time that to kill off an entire team at the end of a book's run. And I think to keep bringing that up and revisiting it kind of lessens it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think the answer probably is don't be a dickhead. Don't think about it. Just read the comic. What more do you want?
Yeah. When does this take place? Don't be a dick. Yeah.
You spoiled child.
Do you want the friendly or unfriendly mic slap? Your choice, kid.
The high five or the face five. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I honestly, yeah, genuinely hope that this launches a new book for the Patrol with the core trio and the Chief. And I... you know, hope they get more team members and visit them, but I hope they, you know, update those meetings and adventures for the...
Yeah.
I guess the current DCU as it stands for now.
Yeah.
Until the next big... you know, relaunchy, renumbering. No, DC doesn't really do renumbering that much.
No. I'm actually hoping that Mark Waid will, you know, stick around and stay on the Doom Patrol if they launch a new series. I'd really like a... That would be a different tone to the sort of Doom Patrols we've had for quite some time, so...
Mm.
You know, more classic.
Yeah, classic. I would like a mixture of classic and current weirdness, I guess. If the writer, Mark Waid or whoever, of this hypothetical Doom Patrol book, if they can marry the two, you know, with the heroics, with the what the helix,
in a church.
Yes, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to join the superheroics here, as well as the what the helix here.
In what holy if there's continuity there? Who objects?
Object. Sit down, pariah. Just shut up and stop messing with the universe. No one asked you. Who even invited you, pariah? Just no.
Mm-hmm. He just pops up, pariah. He always.
He does. Wah, I'm sad. I'm going to destroy everything. Wah. Yeah. You know why they call you pariah? That's why.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that if Mark Waid does, you know, run with a new Doom Patrol, he just tones down the you know, the anti-vax messages a bit, makes it a little bit more less political.
Well, I don't know. It's ripe for the mining. Look, kids, these three normal people took vaccines and turned into a robot and a negative being and a giant woman. Oh, watch out.
Oh, dear.
He was injecting himself with the vaccine whilst he was racing his car. So vaccines cause you to have your eyes off the road, kids. So, yeah, I can see that happening.
Awesome. Well, I think we should do another hour of this, but what do you reckon?
Look, I think we've carried across our thoughts, feels and vibes on this issue. It's a great first issue. It's an intriguing story. I want to find out who the Horn Guy is. Speaking of the Horn Guy, you noticed that on Metallo's syringe, there was that little, the little horn glyph.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you notice that when Ivy was controlling her plants, that one of her little plants dangling near her hand had the same shape?
I did not notice that.
Yeah, yeah. In the 10-pager, in the intro story. It's just a very small panel when she's sitting on top of the Daily Planet, and one of her plant tendril things, yeah, it takes that shape as well. I was like, ooh.
Oh, okay. I did notice that Superman threw a car and Robot Man got in the way so it didn't crush some people. And Superman, as he picked up the car, yelled, Action Comics number one cover! Did you notice that?
I'll have to reread that. I did miss that entire section somehow.
Might have been the sound effect that was there.
Right, yeah. Oh, sound effect lettering getting in the way once again.
Yeah. No, that was beautiful. I resoundingly innocuous the entire issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we've doom-splained this as much as we possibly can. I'm very excited to see issue 2 of Bizwiff. Feet. The Doom Patrol. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now it's the part of the show called The Mailbag of Doom, where we discuss recent missives. We've received messages, comments, condemnations, recriminations, innocuous comments. What are we talking about today? But I thought it might be fun just to acknowledge people who reached out to us when the Doom Patrol were appearing in this comic and tried to let us know. So we had, Jonathan Dye, Martin Gray was super helpful. Tim Price expressed enthusiasm. Kevin Wetter, Keith G. Baker. This was interesting. Philip Kostelecki, he said a tweet the other day, my favorite kid I ever taught when I was a swim teacher was this little 4-year-old Italian boy. One time he sneezed and no one said anything, so he just went, what, no bless yous for Giacomo? And Barkmender or Dustbender contacted and says, what are the chances that this wasn't a 4-year-old, but rather a master of disguise? And that is a beautiful callback to one of our earlier.
Look, I'm going to applaud that one. That is a beautiful callback to Giacomo, the long lost member of the Brotherhood of Evil.
Mike Lapine, let us know. So the good old Mike, he jumped in. Can't usually trust people, good Mike, but Mike Lapine, good bloke.
How dare you?
What do you mean? What? What have I done?
Shut up and keep going.
Shut up and keep going.
You heard me.
Canadian Geek. We had Canadian Geek. He was in. A lot of people just reaching out to us, hoping that we know about the Doom Patrol, which we do. So.
We do. And, yeah, thanks to everyone reaching out and making sure we were aware. And also thanks to those that... Frack. Bless you, Frack. And also thanks to those that...
God bless Frack.
God bless Frack, because he needs all the help he can get. love you, Frack. Just jokes, my friend. Also, it was very heartwarming to see people actually getting excited that we were doing a new episode of this show when we said we were honoured.
So. Well, they'd be over that by now, wouldn't they?
But if they've stayed this long with the episode, oh yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. So, Mike, what do we want to do on the next episode?
On the next episode of Waiting for Doom, I believe we are going to cover... Batman Superman World's Finest, issue 2.
What? Bizwith 2?
Bizwith 2. Bizwith the second.
Bizwith the second? Oh, okay.
Bizwith the return.
The coronation of Bizwith the second.
Bizwith is for the children. Oh, yeah. No, wait, that's Wu-Tang. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, Wu-Tang is for the children.
I believe the Bizwith is our future.
You can tell it's been a while since we've done this, guys.
It's tight. This episode is so tight.
It's
tighter, on target.
It's tighter than Rita's Elastipants. I'm glad she's got sensible bike shorts on now.
Yeah, it's laser focused this episode. Mm. It's, there's not an ounce of fat on this episode. I think we've done a really good job. I think we've delivered. We have delivered. You're welcome.
We've delivered something, all right.
All right, so if people want to get in touch with us, you can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. Wilfred's on Twitter at WFDpod. We've got a Facebook page, waitingfordoom.com, the website where we do web stuff. So, there's a lot of innocuous stuff there a lot of coronations, a lot of marriages of things.
So yeah.
There's the internet and text married and images.
Yep.
They took each other as, no one objected. So that's all there. Get into it. So, yeah, we thank you all. Thank you. You mean the world to us. I'm glad I'm back. I'm glad I've done a great episode today, I think. I've done a good job, haven't I, Mike? Thank you. Thank you for saying so.
How are your shoulders feeling for all this carrying that you've been doing of the show, Paul? You doing okay?
They feel better than my balls. My ball.
On that note...
I'm on the ball.
Stay weird, be good to each other, don't be a crumb bum, and we will catch you next time for more Waiting for Doom.
Waiting for Doom.
We waited a long time to become Twitter friends. I was just too young. I don't even think my mum would have let me be on Twitter at that age.
You could have said, there's a 22-year-old guy who wants to be my friend on Twitter.
And my mother would have said something like, that seems inappropriate.
She would have said, what's Twitter?
She still asked what Twitter was, even when it was an actual thing. Unlike 1990 when it wasn't.